Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kritva, Siksha, Dandam, Na, Yunjate, Paranjana Ubacha, Nam, Tvakritta Punyaste, Vidyayesh Visharashule, Vatmasat Kritva, Shadandam Yunjate, Ranjana Vacha, Nunam Tvakritta Punyaste, Yayesh Vishvarashuve, Vidyayesh Vishvarashuve, Shadandam Yunjate, Paranjana Vacha.
Paranjana Vacha.
Paranjana said. Nunam.
Nunam.
Certainly.
To them.
Akritta Punya.
Akritta Punya.
Those who are not pious.
Those who are not pious.
Say.
Such.
Vridya.
Vridya.
Servants.
Servants.
Yeshu.
Yeshu.
Unto whom?
Ishvara,
Ishvara, Masters,
Shubhay,
oh most auspicious one,
the
Da'agashu,
having committed an offense,
Atmasat,
accepting
as their own,
Kritva,
doing so,
Siksha,
instructive,
Dandam,
punishment,
Nayunjate,
not give. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. King Pranjana said, my dear beautiful wife, when a master accepts a servant as his own man, not to punish him for his offenses, the servant must be considered unfortunate. Purport. According to Vedic civilization, domestic animals and servants are treated exactly like one's own children. Animals and children are sometimes punished not out of vengeance, not of love. Similarly, a master sometimes punishes his servant not out of vengeance, but out of love to correct him and bring him to the right point. And thus King Pranjana took his punishment dealt by his wife, the queen, as mercy upon him. He considered himself the most obedient servant of the queen. She was angry at him for his sinful activities, namely hunting in the forest and leaving her at home. King Pranjana accepted the punishment as actual love and affection from his wife. In this way, when a person is punished by the laws of nature, by the will of God, he should not be disturbed. A real devotee thinks in this way. When a devotee is put into an awkward position, he takes it at the mercy of the Supreme Lord. This verse states that the devotee accepts a reversal of his position in life as a benediction of the Lord and consequently offers the Lord more obeisances and prayers, and even the punishment is due to his past and his deeds, and the Lord is punishing him very mildly. The punishment awarded by the state or by God for one's own faults is actually for one's benefit. And the Manasamhita, it is said that the king should be considered merciful when he condemns a murderer to death, because a murderer punished in this life becomes free from his sinful activity and in the next life takes birth cleared of all sins. If one accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master, he becomes intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again. And Prabhupada gives a very nice translation for this verse quoted in the Nectar of Devotion, which is very sweet. I have to share it with you. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and he goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has indeed become his rightful claim. Shri Guru, Shri Tata, Bhava Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnava, Shri Rupa, suffering in different ways in this material existence, whether it's a health issue, an interpersonal issue, a financial issue, is that we're all being pinched in many ways, isn't it? So how do you take those pinches
You become disturbed by them. Is it? Our tendency as neophytes is to become disturbed by those pinches. Health, wealth, etc. But here we learn a very wonderful way of seeing whatever sufferings we're going through. To see them is a shower of mercy coming upon us like torrents of rain in the monsoon season, the Lord Krishna. If one can see one's sufferings as a special blessing of Krishna, you never can disturb ever again. Oh, Krishna is bestowing his mercy upon me. I'm going through hell right now, but actually it's wonderful. It's just Krishna's kindness. I deserve much worse. Just give me a little token. Please give me, I deserve that I have my head cut off, but just give me a little slap instead. It's easy to say this, isn't it? But to actually feel that, that's tough. To feel that way when the suffering hits you. Your health, you're being bombarded with a horrible health issue, you have to run to the hospital or something with a crisis. So how do we actually make this not only something we can say and talk about, but actually feel it? That's a challenge. But I can assure you this, anyone who can master this challenge becomes very powerfully situated in Krishna consciousness. Very powerfully situated. So it's certainly worth striving for us neophytes, struggling, bumbling neophytes, to endeavor and into that mood. You can say, thank you, Krishna, for blessing me with all of this suffering and anxiety. Of course, as a classic example of Kunti Devi, we know that when she was there with her son, the Pandavas, in the forest for so many years, it was a horrible thing for a woman to be in the forest. There was man-eating rakshasas. It was no place, no nice home, no nice bed. Living is a horrible existence in the forest. But then the ordeal was over, and now she's back in Hastinapur in a nice, comfortable palace. Everything's very nice, first-class arrangements. But she's lamenting. My dear Krishna, please, may those calamities come again and again. Because when those calamities come, I'm always seeing how you're there protecting us and guarding us in every situation. That those calamities, because by seeing these calamities, I'm always seeing you. And by seeing you, I'm not seeing the repetition of birth and death. So this is very, very advanced position of Kunti Devi. She's actually begging for calamities. I don't want to be in a comfortable situation, because I forget you, my Lord, when it's too comfortable. So please put me in great difficulties, so I'm always feeling how you're present and protecting and guarding me and saving me in every situation. So this is, of course, a very advanced position. But we can appreciate this mood of Kunti Devi and try to develop a similar mood of not being why Krishna is doing this to me? No. Why Krishna is doing this? This isn't fair. I didn't deserve this. You see how we, as neophytes, how we can think. We have to learn how to think properly. It all begins with mental discipline, actually. Yato yato nishchalati manasham chalamashtaram tatastato nayanyata atmanivivisham yuyat. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So it really all boils down to mental discipline. You see. Because whatever you're thinking, that's how you're going to speak and that's how you're going to act. If you can focus on mental discipline, keeping that mind always very sober and fixed, in complete total dedication to Guru and Krishna in every situation. And the other things will follow like a shadow. The words, the actions, they all follow like a shadow. So how to bring that in mind to the actual point, keep it at the actual point? It's a very simple thing. Always begging for pure devotional service. See, our tendency is to want to enjoy sense gratification. That's why we came to this stupid nonsense place. A foolish desire to try to gratify our senses. So how do you get free from that tendency? We have to get back to that mood of simply wanting to serve Krishna. Serve Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless me that now I can be a totally sold out pure devotee. Begging, begging, begging Krishna. Please, my dear Mother Radharani, please Krishna, please engage me in your pure devotional service. This is a great way to start your day. As soon as you wake up, just beg the Lord, beg Mother Radharani, please bless me that today, right now, I can do your pure devotee. And chant your japa in that mood. Otherwise, your chanting is offensive. Because that's the actual mood of chanting Hare Krishna, is begging for pure devotional service. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So many people are always asking me, you know, all these emails, how can I be out of anxiety? How can I solve my problems? It really all boils down to simply always being that we're begging for pure devotional service. In every situation, whether you're at work, whether you're in the commute, whether you're in the bhajari room or on the altar, or you're out on book distribution, on Harinam, some kirtan, you're even laying in your bed, go down to bed to sleep at night, in every situation, always beg Krishna, please, my dear Lord, please bestow Prema Bhakti upon me. I'm drowning in this ocean of madness, foolishly misidentifying with this material body. Please pull me out of this madness and bless me that now I can do your pure devotees. This kind of prayerful mood will actually liberate us from all the anxiety in the daily existence. The more we can, another aspect of it is Lord Chaitanya's special benediction. Lord Chaitanya's special benediction is he has come to take away all the anxieties of the living entities in this material existence, to liberate them, to take them back to Krishna as the Lord. Lord Chaitanya is sheltering all the anxieties of the living entities upon him. So it's explained that one who actually also takes up this mood of a preacher, wanting to deliver the fallen soul back to Krishna, he's sharing some of this burden of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's another way of understanding how to become free of anxieties. On the one, you're begging for pure devotional service. On the other way is you're taking up this anxiety of how to live with the fallen souls of this world back to Krishna. How to increase the preaching, how to increase the Shadam distribution, how to increase the Harinam, how to increase book distribution, how to increase the cultivation program. I'm feeling great anxiety to see the suffering souls are completely maddened by sense gratification. I'm getting ready now. I'm going to go back to the U.S. for the interview and a video broadcast that goes all over America about how to become free from all anxiety, they're going to ask me. And I'm explaining to them the secret of how to become free from anxiety is to take more anxiety upon yourself. If you're selfish, I don't care about anybody else, just myself. Just what makes me happy. You won't be happy. If you take the anxiety of the fallen souls, you embrace the anxiety of the suffering people of this world, and what can I do to help these people? That's an insider's secret how to become completely free of anxiety. The more you embrace anxiety, the more you become liberated from anxiety. I know I got many letters from Prabhupada. Of course, it was very nice, of course, your letters from Prabhupada. But one letter he expressed the most appreciation So what I had written him is when I told him I was in anxiety the people of Austin were not Krishna conscious. I expressed my anxiety how the people are suffering without Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was so pleased that I would say like that. So that move, the more you can feel sorry for these poor Melbourneites who are completely lost in madness on the beach or here and there in the liquor shops and the McDonald's hamburger joints and all. The more you can feel sorry for these poor souls, how can we save them? How can we, they can hear the holy name, how they can get a book, how they can get prasada, how we can somehow reach out and connect with these people. That's what gives the greatest pleasure to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas. When you think of this mood of preaching, delivering the Krishna, my life is dedicated to delivering the fallen souls of this world back to Krishna. That's what it means to be a preacher. To be always in that mood. How can I deliver these fallen souls? In fact, Papa told us in Los Angeles, he said, deliver the world. That was the order he gave us. Deliver the world. Wow. Big order coming from Prabhupada. We've been ordered to deliver the world. So that's our duty. See, individually and collectively. It's not my duty. It's the, now each one of us has that duty. It's individually and collectively. We are all ordered by Prabhupada to deliver the world. So the more we can feel anxiety to see these people are suffering, how we can bring them into this madness. How we can attract the leaders. Because it was very nice, if you saw the report, the Prime Minister of Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, garlanded Prabhupada. That's a nice sign, auspicious sign. Of course, he's doing it to get votes. But still, he gets the Sukriti, so he garlanded Prabhupada. So the more we can reach out and connect with the leading people of the world, you see, that's very powerful. The political leaders, educational leaders, in every sphere, the more we can connect with these leading people and get them to somehow to appreciate this movement. And, it's really valuable stuff. So I think we can pull it off. I still think we can pull off a global spiritual revolution. Prabhupada said, if you cooperate with me fully in 18 days, we can make the whole world Christian. I'm convinced we can do it. I mean, look what's happening in Mayapur. The chief minister has never come, but now the chief minister has come, seeing what we're doing, and she's going to give all support to help that project. So there's very auspicious things happening in this planet right now. So we should be fully attuned to this mercy mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. For their every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. How can I become a pure devotee and how can I be instrumental for bringing the deliverance of these fallen souls back to home, back to Godhead? We keep this mood always burning like a fire in our hearts. Every minute, even when you're brushing your teeth, you say, keep that mood always burning in your heart. Krishna, please let me look pure bhakti. Please use me as your instrument to bring these fallen souls back to your abode. Keep this burning, 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 burning. And you'll be living in a state of pure bliss in every situation. Even if you're sick, even if you're dying of cancer, it won't matter. Because you'll be tuned into the transcendental platform. This process works. The only reason we have difficulty is we don't work the process. We follow our mental whims instead of the orders of our acharyas. That's the difficulty. We have these rascal minds that keep trying to sneak away and do our own little sense gratification on the side. Got to beat down that rascal. Boom, 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 boom. Get down to the rascal mind. Now you become Krishna conscious. You become the pure devotee, my dear mind. Bajahure mana shinandanandana abhaya charananindure, my dear mind. directly engage yourself in the devotional service of the Divine Son, Nandamaharaj. Always be working on that mind. Bring that mind under control. The intelligence is the mother of the mind, like the naughty kid. You have to train that mind how to always be pakka, always fixed in Krishna consciousness. If the thought is Krishna conscious, go for it. If it's not, kick it out. This is like the example of that great king, Jamunacharya Albandru of South India. He was a king enjoying royal happiness with the queen and the big harem. There was so much sex enjoyment he had. But he gave it all up and became a sadhu. But sometimes those thoughts of the old days with all those girls would come back to his head. And therefore he stated like this, Yadavari Mamma Chaita Krishna Badara Vinde Nava Nava Rasa Dhamanacharantam Mahasit Tadavari Patanari Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Mukku Nishtivanamcha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, relishing Nava Nava Rasa, ever increasing ecstasy in that service. Whatever due to my past misdeeds, the thought of that sense pleasure comes to my brain, my lips curl with distaste, and I spit at the song. So we have to learn from him how to be very good spitters. When these dirty thoughts come to our brain, which they often do because of our past conditioning, we have to be very immediately spit at the damn thing. Get out, you're not welcome here. You rascal thought, get out. Now the only thoughts welcome in my mind are thoughts of pure devotion. I was just remembering from this verse, this is something we have experienced in the association of devotees. Sometimes we become very agitated when some devotee corrects us and says, they tell us you're not doing it right, we get agitated. Who are you to tell me, you know? We have this attitude, this puffed up attitude. But actually, we learn in this verse, one should appreciate. If some devotee is taking the time and trouble to correct me, it's not going to hate me. That's a sign of love. If you point out my fault, it's not that you're, you know, the holier than thou trip you're on, you want to tell me what a rascal I am because you think you're really great. We shouldn't think it like that. We should think of this devotee is taking the time and trouble to correct me. This is his great kindness and love. It's actually the love of Krishna coming through this devotee. So I should appreciate it and take it humbly. As Lord Chaitanya said, lower than the straw in the street, ready to offer all respect to others without expecting even a slight tinge of respect for oneself in such a state of mind, one can go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 24/7 with ever-increasing ecstasy with each soul. So we have to learn this art of how to be humble, how to take correction. It's actually, for many devotees, it's the hardest thing. How to take correction. It's very difficult for many of us how to take correction in an appreciative way instead of an angry way. It's a very, very important thing. Because the more one can learn how to appreciate correction, the more you become advanced in Krishna consciousness. The more you're very enjoyable to have your faults pointed out, the more you become free from faults. The more you're angry and your fault is pointed out, the more you remain in a faulty state of consciousness. So we have a few minutes left here. We have devotees tuned in from around the world and also locally. If there's any questions, let's see, any questions, corrections, any faults? Yes. My hearing isn't good, so I'll try to make it out.
Prabhupada, you were saying that Srila Prabhupada said that if you cooperate with him fully in
18 days, you can make that of our Krishna consciousness. That's right.
What do we have to do to just...
Well, we have to give up all of our nonsense.
18 days?
Prabhupada also says, a pure, one who chants the holy name without offense, one can make the whole world Krishna conscious. Even one devotee can do that. So we had to give up our offenses. Basically, Vaishnava Parag, Nama Parag, we got to learn how to read all this stuff out. Become a completely tight-knit. Right now, we're not as tight-knit as we could be because we're, you know, all this false ego stuff gets in the middle of our relationships. The more we can get rid of that false ego stuff and just become very, very tight-knit, then we'll have this moon become more and more powerful. And the material world is becoming more and more falling apart more and more every day, becoming more and more degraded. And if we become more and more together and pure, then that day will come when people recognize that these Hare Krishna people, they're the ones who can tell us how we can make this planet a proper place to live. That day can come. We just have to increase our own purity more and more and more. With every mantra, with every maran, with every arati, try to do everything with absolute purity. Just like Papa told me in one letter, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that's the kind of purity we should be striving to develop. We say Jagannath is Swami Nayanapapa, don't we? Do we remember the actual meaning? See, we're actually praying, Jagannatha Swami Nayanapata Gami Bhava Tumani, please come in my vision. Let me become a pure devotee that I can see you directly, face to face, eye to eye. But all the impurities are cleared away. So the more we develop these pure, this intense desire for pure devotion, the more we'll become appreciated by the world society, and that day can come and we can actually lead the whole world, and I'm convinced we can do it. Anything else? Everyone satisfied, ready to cover that pure bhakti is your only business? No more nonsense, no more false ego, no more laziness, no more craziness, kick it out with boo! Is doing nothing but causing you anxiety. I mean, why embrace anxiety? Who wants to be in anxiety? Kick it out. Kick out all this. Pure bhakti is the only business from now on. Take that determination. If you take that determination, every day will be the most ecstatic day of your whole life. And every day will be better and better and better and better. And better. So if there's nothing, questions? No questions? Yes.
Can you repeat again what you've done in 18 days?
Prabhupada said if we fully cooperate with them in 18 days, they can make the whole world Krishna conscious.
So why hasn't it been done? So why then hasn't it been done?
Why hasn't it been done yet?
Why? Because we're not fully cooperating. We have our own. We're still holding on to our material desires, that's the problem. Profit, adoration, distinction. We're not completely pure. We're holding on to our impurities. Many of us are having to take initiation. We're not taking that seriously. They initiated the roads. Even those who are, they don't follow their vows strictly. So we, you know, in many ways, they're deficient. So we have to now all mass. We have to work together to help each other, to encourage each other, to master this practice of Krishna bhakti. They were purely engaged in Krishna consciousness 24/7. Because the more we come together and purify our consciousness, the more we'll have. The more we'll be attracted. I mean, the potency is there. We just have to become more and more empowered representatives of Lord Chaitanya by developing that theory in ourselves. You understand? Make sense?
No.
No?
No. I started respectfully because it was that easy with people who are already in the fellowship, in this movement, asked the question of how to do it in 18 days. Some of you, like myself, if you will.
Am I hearing it? Can you repeat what he says?
Broken
physically. As I said, if the people who have been in movement for many, many years have difficulty in doing it as a person only who's been here a short amount of time, I find it becomes bewildering. I can't move things that sometimes just rock me from side to side. Sometimes I'm fine, and other times I'm
not. My view is, if we can't do it in 18 days, let's do it in 18 years or in 18 lifetimes. We can't do it in 18, try it in 18 years. Or, you know, why not take birth after birth? But we can do it. Why not do it in, if we can't do it in 18 days, let's try it for 18 lifetimes. It's actually predicted in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, the 10,000 year period, Madhbhakta Samti Bhutale, the 10,000 year period when the whole world will become Krishna conscious, predicted in the scriptures. That 10,000 year period began 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Chaitanya. So it is prophetic, it will happen within this 10,000 year period. It is going to be a complete Krishnaization of the entire planet. So maybe another 5,000 years.
I can live with that answer.
Good. Now, some devotees actually want to take birth after birth. It's so exciting. They want to take birth after birth to be a part of that complete global Krishnaization. Because we could be more ecstatic than see the whole planet Krishna conscious. That Prabhupada's vision becomes fully accepted by the whole world society. That would be a very ecstatic thing. So I know there are devotees who have that mood. They want to take birth after birth until it happens. You know, just go over and down and can wait. Let's Krishnaize this whole planet as soon as possible. So we'll stop, yeah?
In comparison to the whole world, my contribution is insignificant, like maturity is insignificant.
Yeah?
How can I understand that my purification, which is insignificant, will make the whole world
Well, Prabhupada, on Prabhupada's word, Prabhupada said, one chance of holy name without any offense, by his potency, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. Even one devotee, Prabhupada said, can make the whole world Krishna conscious by pure chanting. So, just by Prabhupada's word, I mean, well, who am I to say anything? I'm just some neophyte devotee trying to become Krishna conscious. But Prabhupada said it right in his book. So that's the great power. Even if one devotee can chant purely the holy name with absolute, total purity, that one devotee will, by his potency, the whole world can become Krishna conscious. According to Prabhupada's purport. It's not making it up. It's a fact. So the more that each and every one of us can purify our chanting, that there will be more and more spiritual potency developing. And if we can, you know, encourage and preach this all over the movement, and devotees can become more and more intent, awakening pure love within our hearts is a prime business. The other duties are just for that purpose. So I'm a GBC, a sannyasi, a traveling guru, or whatever it might be. Those things are secondary. The primary thing is to become the pure devotee of Krishna. These other things are there as services that you can use to help become a pure devotee. But the real point is that each element has to focus on being a pure devotee is my prime business. I must become now Krishna's pure devotee, completely free from all impurities of the heart. So we'll stop here, and we thank everybody for tuning in. Oh, wait, from the internet now, the questions are coming. All right. From Shamakriya Devi Dasi in India. How not to be discouraged when, after trying to do the past conditioning, some habits keep coming back again and again? Well, that's That's par for the course. All of us go, I know, I can think of myself, this is something we ought to deal with this. Maybe some are so rare they don't deal with that. But this is a pretty common thing. We have these habits, material tendencies, that keep wanting to come back again and again and again and again and again. So you just have to be very patient and very determined and very enthusiastic, and each time they come back, put it down. Bad habit, you just gotta keep working on it and working on it and working on it until it's finished. Dhananjaya Das, many times we become defeated by lusty and greedy thoughts, how to control the mind. You have to replace the lust and greed with transcendental lust and greed. Instead of being lusty, you enjoy the opposite sex. You should have a lust for awakening, for studying Krishna consciousness, and greed for studying Krishna consciousness. I often give this example. Lust means you feel a desire to impregnate some woman. So instead of impregnating one woman, why not impregnate the whole world by injecting Krishna consciousness into everyone? Instead of injecting semina into one woman, why not inject Krishna Gita into the hearts of everyone? So, you know, this is the greater sex life, you see. This is why a sannyasi can be totally happy without even a woman, because he's totally absorbed in giving Krishna to everyone. It's the greatest feeling of satisfaction. Someone may be happy making a woman pregnant, but if you can make the whole world pregnant with love of God, that's the greatest sex life. So in this way, take that tendency to lust and greed and purify it for making Krishna consciousness the world religion in every town and every village throughout the world. Okay, we'll stop here.